Well, it's a celebration Sunday, and yeah, loving the buzz and the vibe that is in this room. My name is Ryan. If you don't know me, I'm one of the leaders here. This is my church. These are my people. And today is a moment that we're going to, I guess, mark in time. We're here to celebrate two things. First of all, God's provision of this venue. This is our first official Sunday in this venue. We've been working really hard, scrubbing floors, painting wood, and getting ready for today, our kind of housewarming. So thank you for coming to celebrate this moment with us. But more than that, we want to celebrate God's provision and the journey over the past 10 plus years. It was 2012 that Common Ground Weinberg was planted, and we want to celebrate that moment today really well together. So thank you, everyone, for being here. Whether you've just strolled in from the neighborhood and it's your first time, a very warm welcome. I also want to say a special warm welcome to many of the people that have journeyed with us over the years, starting with people like Jono and Tunzi that have come to celebrate this moment with us, Claire and Merrick. It is so wonderful to see you guys. There he is at the back. But just also to acknowledge Rigby and Sue, who are with us today, representing Common Ground and Advance, as well as Ryan and Kate and Nina and Oscar. Amazing to have you guys with us. Welcome. Hope we're making these guys feel like $1 million. They are really special to us. And also Mike and Myrna, who, there we go. Mike and Myrna served on eldership here for many, many years. It's wonderful to see you guys in the room. And if I've left anyone out, well, we're going to be honoring people throughout the service and thanking God. But maybe I can invite you just to stand to your feet. And I'd just like to take us to Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, we're reminded that we need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's quite interesting because God never stops being good. His goodness is evident all around us. But this psalm tells us that sometimes we actually just need to stop for a moment. You know, we don't always taste it. We don't always see it. We don't always recognize it. And we want to do that today. We want to do those things and we want to celebrate God's goodness. So why don't I read that psalm before we go into worship. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. But lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for how good you are. Thank you that your word reveals you as a good, good father, and you never stop being good. And today we want to celebrate you. We want to extol your name. We want to glorify you in this place. We want to thank you for all that you are and the incredible journey that you've taken us on as your people. Today is a moment to celebrate you and your provision and your goodness. So we look to you now together, and we want to raise our voices and our hearts and everything to celebrate you and to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. How's everyone doing? Can you smile? It's a celebration. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, Charlotte, is she here? Okay. Oh, she's just popped out. It's kind of a surreal moment for me, I must be honest. About 25 years ago, I lived in a house that was like two houses along here. And there was always, I remember on a Sunday, I mean, we were shooting off to our church, but there's always been kind of worship emanating from this hall. And I mean, I think that church has moved to another school, but I think for me, it's amazing to be kind of in a way, gone physically full circle. But Shelley and I have been part of Weinberg for about 10 years as well. And it's been such an amazing part of our life. When we moved back from the UK, there were so many unknowns. You know, what kind of work would I do here? What kind of church would we land up in? And it's been such an incredible, I think coming back to South Africa has been so amazing. We never want to leave this place. But I think a big part of that is God planting us in this beautiful family and seeing our kids mature. I think our next generation ministries for me are like a massive, massive highlight. And we're just seeing like the fruit of that. It feels like half of our church are kids now. But I'm extremely grateful for the journey that my kids have been able to go on in this church. When we joined, we had two. They were two and like less than one. And now they're 13, 11. And we have a four-year-old. So I just want to honor God for planting us in a church where the kids program is not just looking after them. It's really, the volunteers here are passionate about seeing our kids grow in their knowledge of Christ. And there's like a genuine spiritual journey that is happening there. So I'm going to, it's kind of an open mic moment, just 1 minute, 2 minutes. If you want to honor God, you want to say thank you to God for something that has happened along the way. We can start with Jono. I can see, as usual, Jono's wanting to come up here. Let's welcome Jono.
Thanks. Morning, church. It's a real honor to be here and just mark a moment celebrating so many years and wow, it's been a great journey. And if you're new here or if you've been here a while, just want to encourage you that there's so much growth. I just want to echo what you were saying, Ryan, about seeing not only children mature and multiply as the Weinberg Elder Triple, seeing people grow. And what's been huge for Tanzi and myself is years of healing. I was just thinking as we were praising and just the amount of lives changed that we've seen and we've experienced ourselves, the warmth, being in relationship with people that we would never normally have been in relationship with, having life groups so full of life and diverse, and you know, just always had a sense from the first time that we walked in that this is what heaven's going to be like. You know, people are from all nations, of all different creeds and all different backgrounds, and just one joint love for the Lord, for all that he's made, all that he's brought us this far, and he's still going to take us further. So I really encourage you to lean in, be prepared for an awesome journey that's multiple years as we see ourselves and our children grow. So thank you, Lord, for all you've done here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jono. Here comes Supermom.
No. Anybody who has kids will know one of those mornings, and it's one of those. I just want to honor God. I started, my husband and I started coming to this church in 2017. And I remember at that time, Christopher Burke was here, also the one other Afrikaans person in our community. And he immediately noticed us because we were speaking Afrikaans. Mark's by black, then there's a poor meer Afrikaans mense now here, so hallelujah. I think this community has challenged us and encouraged us, which is exactly what we need to become like Christ. Christopher, our home group leader at that time from this community, married us, which is very special. And we've had our two boys and have had the support of this community in that time. And praise God for that. Amen.
Is there anyone else? We've got a lot to get through, but is there anyone else that wants to? Alvarina, come on.
Thank you, Ryan. So hi, I'm Alverina. I just wanted to take this opportunity to also thank Common Ground Weinberg and Greater Common Ground. Thank you, Rigby and Sue, for leading the church so well in all its growth. I remember a few years back sitting at your table and Sue preparing a wonderful spaghetti meal, which was the best. I still remember it. Thank you. I've also sat at many tables of not just the Wallaces, the Ntamboys as well, and other family members in this church. And I just wanted to say thank you for breaking bread with us. For myself and Reuben and my two sons, Chadwin and Jethro, you've been there to support that you've given us. Even though myself and Reuben are no longer together, you've been there for us as a family and as individuals. You've been there to hold us up in prayer, and wherever the journey has taken us, you've been there. And even you've supported us in many ways that I cannot even number. It outnumbers all of our experiences. And I just want to say thank you. You've given to us, and we've given back to you. And you're still here today to see us together and to uphold us and uplift us in prayer. And I am just extremely grateful. And I wanted to say just take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for being there for us. And thank you for continuing to love and support us and bringing everybody together. Okay? From all over the world, you've been able to do that. And I don't know how you do it, but you still continue to do that. And the love that you have for your country and everyone that's in it. And all the support. I just want to say thank you. You've shepherded well.
Alicia, last one. I told you guys, you had to be quick.
Good morning, church. I'll be very quick. I just want to say something about the church itself. And I think Common Ground Weinberg has played a role of a family. When I came to Weinberg, I moved from Joburg, and I think we started in 2016. And what I've really seen emerge in the church is what everyone longs for outside. And I feel like people have been jealous of me when I tell them that I moved to Cape Town and I didn't know anyone. But naturally, I came into this church, and I have a big circle of friends and family. And people have celebrated me and my family with my siblings, and I've also celebrated other people. I've seen kids being born in the church. I've seen kids graduate. I've seen people get married. I've seen people get saved. And Common Ground Weinberg, what we are celebrating is what God has called the church to be. It's not just, you know, our benefit as individuals, but it's that we can go out there and minister and say to people that if you want a family in life, the church is where you need to go. And I just want to thank the eldership of this church for just holding on to that vision of what God has called his church to be to people in this world. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. Great. I'm going to hand over to Andre. What do we want? One more? Okay, come on. We can do this.
I thought I was going to not do it today. I just want to share a note about like how our family came across Common Ground. We did a lot of church hopping when we lived in Rondebosch, and we went literally from door to door, from church to church, and we stuck with Common Ground Rondebosch because we wanted a place where the word was preached faithfully, and we loved that. Then we moved to Plumstead and figured logically, let's go to the church that's closer, and we went down the road and found the one in Weinberg, and it was even more amazing. Like, we found the diversity we wanted, we found the word being preached, we found cultures being celebrated. And the thing that most impressed us was just the sense of community. Like, we came one week, and then I can't even remember the reason, we couldn't come the next. And we came back another week later, and people remembered our names. Like, it was just so powerful. Like, I don't remember people's names very well. So, guys, if you have a gift for remembering names, you guys are important. People remembered our names and asked us where we were the week before, and that struck a chord. And then we went away to study abroad, and we came back, and then we got involved at church plant and went away again, and then we came back. And it has always felt like coming home. There's no question, like, which church are we going to go to next? It's like Common Ground. It's obvious. It's our people. We know people. We're going to always have to find new people if we disappear for a while, but it's been home. And I just wanted to say that about this church, is that it's family. It really does become that. We've got the word preached faithfully. We've got multicultural community. But most of all, we've got people who love us and who we can love. And I think, like, guys, if you are ever on the fence, and get stuck in and get to know this family, because that's what it is.
Amazing. Wow. Great. So encouraging. Thank you. I would love to start by saying thank you so much to all the friends for accepting our invitation to come and celebrate with us. And I'm going to be calling up two people to share before I can share, then Co-op Rigby is going to be preaching. I would love first to say thank you to Rigby and Sue and Ryan and Kate for trusting us, Sabrina and I. It was, Rigby, I still remember, I'm sitting 12 years ago in your house, you said to me, Andre, you have to go back and make sure that you are not running ahead of your wife. I want you to make sure that you are running at the same pace, same speed. That was before Weinberg was planted, and you really taught me what it meant to lead with my wife. And the reason my wife is not here, because we've got a little baby, but it has been a great joy to be under your leadership, and thank you for the trust that you gave us. And we accepted God's call joyfully, and here we are today. We continue to lead, to give of ourselves, and it is a God's story, but there are people who make up God's story. So that's the reason why I love to say thank you to you. Thank you to Ryan and Kate. Thank you to Mike and Mona. Thank you to Dev and Liz. These are odd friends who have been there to encourage us, and a number of you, Mary can play, Rich and Ruth. These guys have really been such great supporters, and many of you, Laura, Greg, and the prayers. In fact, I can carry on mentioning names. I think it's just too emotional for me to stand here to look back on this journey. I'm going to talk after, but let me let Ryan come and say something, a word of encouragement, then I'll call up Mike. Ryan and Kate, not only Ryan, if Kate wants to come up also. These guys have been our greatest encouragers, and they've encouraged us a lot to come this far, and it's a great joy. Thank you for being great friends to us.
Great, Andre, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you guys this morning. And
it says this, it marks a season in the life of the church in a most beautiful way.
It says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and Common Ground Weinberg had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord. That's a right reverent view of who God is, the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. And I really would trust that in the days and weeks and years to come, that this community would be marked by God's hand being amongst you, but that you would experience His peace. He's the Lord of all peace. That you would experience Him building you up, that you would experience a people who are walking in the fear of the Lord, a right reverent fear of God, and that you would experience the comforts of the Holy Spirit and multiply. That's our prayer for you guys. So Father, we do bring our brothers and sisters here at Common Ground Weinberg before you, and we pray these things. Your riches, your goodness, your life, your mission into this community in a fresh new way. God, as we mark this season, as we look back and celebrate your goodness, it's your track record of faithfulness that gives us faith to look to the future. And we pray, Father, that they would experience your hand upon them as a people in a fresh new way, and that you would bring your life in every way to this people in your beautiful name. Would you ultimately be glorified, King Jesus?
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ron. So I'm going to call up Mike and Mona to share. Mike and Mona were the first elders who stood with Sabrina and I when we were released to plant. And they've been such a great blessing and a joy. And they've continued to check in and find out more about what is happening. They had a season in their life when they had to move, go out of the country, then come back. Now there's...
And do you realize that God has done amazing things? When the church was planted, the heart of the team that was responsible for putting it together, our desire was that this church would be a multicultural, multi-generational, multinational, multilingual. And when we look back, we can say, God, your promises are true. They are yes and amen. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. A stirring in my heart has been a text out of Philippians, and Paul uses these words in 14 different places in the New Testament. He says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have that sense that grace and peace has been the anthem of this body of believers. And grace and peace will be its anthem into the future. I'm not going to try and do it, but I had the sense when I woke up this morning of a rooster crowing, heralding a new day, heralding new things, and God saying through that prophetic utterance of look forward, there's a new day ahead and new opportunities, new beginnings, new doors that will open, new communities to touch, new households to be reached. And you know the amazing thing about it? Is God's going to use you, you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And you. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be upon you. God bless you.
Thank you, Mike. If you were to ask me, looking back, I'll describe the journey, 10 plus years of teaming with a number of you, giving leadership to this church. The one word for me, it has been a delightful journey for us, but not without challenges. Scriptures are clear. There is a season and a time for everything under heaven. So in the last 10 years or so, we've had different kind of seasons. There have been a time to cry, but there have been a time to rejoice. There have been a time when we have experienced people crossing the line of faith. There have been times when we felt as though heaven was closed. There have been times when we've seen God adding to our numbers. There have been times when we had to stand and accept to let people go. People leaving for good reasons, some relocating, some God finishing the assignments with them. It feels bad, but it's good for the kingdom because there is a season and time for everything under the sun. So in general, it has been a very delightful journey for us. We've seen a number of people being baptized. We've seen a number of marriages being restored. We've seen kids born, like Alvarina said, grow up, our only kids in this community. We've seen meaningful friendship being formed, which have continued to exist even now. And all that has been to the glory of God. And we are celebrating not us because of what we did, but we are celebrating God's faithfulness in the last 10 years plus. And if you ask me what has been keeping us going, what is it that has been keeping us going? Especially when you feel like you are so down. It's Jesus' ease on words in Matthew 16. Peter gave the revelation of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Son of God. And based on that revelation, Jesus said, I will build my church. That has been the thing that have kept us going. We are not building God's church. He is building his church. But he's building it with people. That's the reason why I stand here to say thank you so much to all of you who have played such a great role, accepting us as your leaders, supporting us in what God is doing in and through this community. And those of you, even if God has moved you into a different season of your life, into other communities, but you've continued to be a support to us in prayer, encouragement, we want to say we are so grateful. Thank you so much. There are so many friends to mention, those you know and who have gone far, people like Angelique, Mick, and Joe, Lance and Kate, Nyarai, Joshua, and Jolie. You know, quite a lot of people who have God have sent out, Alois and Maya, so many people, Freddie and Shula. There are so many people God has moved out of this even continent or city. All of them, they played the role to get us to where we are today. And we do acknowledge that. And those of you who have joined into the journey, you have a role to play. It is God's story. It is God's church, which is busy building and is using you and will use you. So thank you so much once again for being such a joy to us, for being willing to follow, for being so gracious to us, for being good friends, and for being good servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm so grateful for that. Now, when we look into the future, what excites me the most is Matthew chapter 6, where again in Jesus' words, it speaks about seeking first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness and all these other things. Friends, if our faith is not based on God's word, we wouldn't have made it this far. We've come this far because we've placed our faith in God's word, and there is no way that God can go against his own word. He cannot lie or he cannot repent of his own promises. So he is behind his word, and we continue to trust him that the future is greater than the past. And we don't want to look back and admire the past. We want to trust God for the greater future. We are only 10 years plus. In my context or my culture, a 10-year boy or girl cannot get married, which means that the season we are in, it's a season of maturing. We want to trust God for more. We want to trust God for the best that is yet to come. We want to trust God that the time we continue to be on our knees, we continue to save, we continue to, you know, to really look up to him, there is nothing that is impossible with our God. Our faithfulness is what is required. So once again, thank you so much for your love, for your commitment, for your sacrifices. Again, the seasons hasn't been always like smooth, but we've seen God's hand in every difficult moment. And that has been our journey. And I want to continue to invite you. Let's continue to journey together for God's glory and for our good and the good of the city. The power is not in us. The power is in the gospel. It's God who is doing his work. Friends, why I said we are maturing? Because we are not a perfect church. Some of you are sitting here, I have to mention, perhaps we might have disappointed you. Maybe you come with great hopes and all that. That's why I said we are maturing. And we want to invite you to mature with us. We want to invite you to continue to extend grace to us. We want to position ourselves to continue to love you and serve you sacrificially. And we want to call you to follow sacrificially to the glory of God. God bless you. And let's really celebrate this time together. And thank God for... So I'm going to invite Rigby and Sue again. Thank you. Oh, Rigby and Sue, if you still want to say something, but Rigby is going to be preaching. He's going to be sharing. And I've heard that many times, Rigby. Sue, do you have something to say?
Always. Oh. But maybe not always publicly. Andre, I've also had to slow down a little bit for Rigby. And it's been worth it. Eh? I had to slow down a little. But we remember first meeting Andre and Sabrina when they were, I mean, Sabrina was a 22-year-old young mom, and Lance was about 2 months old, and we just happened to have a we had just redone our mom's room and we were going to have a photo shoot, and Sabrina was just the ideal model. She was this beautiful young mom with a two-month-old baby, and I think we still have the photographs to prove it. And we just have walked such a long journey with them, and it's just been a delight and a joy just to see them maturing into the role of, I mean, she's now like the mama of the tribe, and it's just a beautiful thing, Andre. So, yeah, we thank you and for the partnership.
Great. Thank you, Rigby. Thank you so much. Hey, Sue just used a very good word. The partnership, I said thank you to Rigby, to Sue, to Ryan, and Kate, but not forgetting to say thank you to Advance. We are part of a movement that has been very supportive to us and as a church. Rigby.
Timbwe.
Yes. Should I give you the mic or not?
Yeah.
Before I give you the mic, just want to say, you know, Rigby, whenever I visit us, you dress up so smart, but today you might be asking yourself why. It's because Rigby had an up, and we understand because of that he has to wear casual. This is nothing to do like bringing or downgrading to this event. No, it's... I just want to let you know, because you might be thinking, how come he's dressing like that, and some of them... Look the way I'm dressing, you know. I've told Rigby many times, whenever I want to come, I said, make sure that you don't come up with you just wear smart, because people here, they might... So we had this conversation.
Andre, thank you so much to you and the elders for the
massive privilege to speak. Never take it for granted. I see our role as an invited one. And we want to say yes to that for as long as it's helpful. And prepping for this moment has been such a joy. I've had so much fun in the scriptures. And I want to encourage you, and I'm hoping to do that version of stand up, speak up, and then shut up, and try not to make it too long. I know these celebration moments, you want to keep it tight. But I do want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to two passages of Scripture. The first is in Acts chapter 8, from verse 1 to 8, and I've entitled the message, Joy in the City. Joy in the City. Can you say that out loud? Can you say it in all of the languages represented in the room? Okay. I just so love that contribution around what Mike's contribution around the uniqueness of all the diversity, multiculturalism. I want to feed the narrative of where this all started. And I want you to see a very interesting passage of Scripture that hopefully will secure our roots and secure our roots. The one is spelled R-O-O-T-S. Those roots that make you strong and established, but will also secure your roots, R-O-U-T-E-S, your path into the future. Roots and roots, and all of us need both. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, as Andre mentioned, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus has not stopped doing what he began to do 2,000 years ago. And the reason I am still at 69 next month, so excited about the cause of Christ, is I am carrying this deepening conviction that he still wants to do a whole lot of stuff on planet Earth. And the reason I know that is he hasn't come back. And folk, it's just logical. If Jesus hasn't come back, it means he's still in the business of building his church, saving people, reaching marginalized people, ministering to the poor, extending grace. We're never out of work in the kingdom of God while Jesus is building his church, and this is going to continue. And I also just want to remind us that I love Common Ground Church. It is the dearest church that I know in the whole world, but it's a tiny part of the big church of Jesus. And so for our friends among us who are from other churches, I want to stand on behalf of Common Ground and honor those other churches. Is that the power that is gone? Because I don't mind. Okay. So that there's no distraction, I'll just let you all just wonder what's happening here. No, we're just going to go have a licorice ice cream. Continues to multiply. That's how church life thrives and flourishes, when we continue to tell our story one life at a time. The apostles probably didn't think it was worth going down to Samaria, but Jesus had said it was worth it. And a newly ordained deacon or elder, whatever he was in the Jerusalem church, he ended up going and being the person that built on that sort of embryonic foundation and preached the gospel. And there was an amazing expectation in that city that ended in that church, that city's transformation and renewal. So I want to give you four encouraging insights in this passage. Number one, God often makes the downside of life serve the upside of life. I'll say it again. God often makes the downside of life serve the upside. What are you talking about, Rigby? It says that on the day, on that day, Stephen's murder. Stephen, one of Philip's sidekicks, has been murdered under persecution, led by Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the great apostle Paul down the road. Persecution breaks out against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. This is interesting. Persecution is not something we look for. But church history teaches amazing lessons that persecution has been one of the primary ways in which God has moved his people and multiplied his message into the world. See, in Acts chapter 1, it says, and they were scattered throughout the region. God can take persecution, negative circumstances. Andre came to South Africa in 2002, joined Common Ground in 2004, emerged as a leader and began to grow. But the story behind that is they left the DRC, as many others in this room have similar stories, and maybe other Southern African nations or even beyond all of that, and you have come, but the circumstances were not what you chose for yourself. Difficulty, crisis. God can take the downside of life and turn it into upside for his glory and our good. No one was moving to Samaria. No one was moving to what God had ordained in the Common Ground story and different other churches' stories. The most beautiful thing that I've noticed in my last 20 years in South Africa is that we used to say yesterday's cities were in nations. Tomorrow's nations are in cities. There's become this melting pot reality of cities and people and cultures. And if we can't get to the Muslim world, guess what's happening? Many Muslims are fleeing to the West. There are people, Hindus, that are coming to faith way more easily in outside of India than in India. And I know that. I've been to India many, many times. There's stories of pockets of great Christian revival in the south of India. We wish it was in the south of England. Let's pray for that one. Now, so what was the trigger to this revival in this particular city in Samaria? The trigger was Philip went down to Samaria as a result of persecution. He had no idea that exactly what was going to happen. He didn't go down there and say, I think I'm just going to join a church. He went there and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. And everyone who scattered preached the word. Andre and Sabrina ended up and emerged. And God began to stir these things in their hearts and to plant this church. And Sue and I were on our way to Australia in 1996. and the bottom fell out of that, and we ended up in Cape Town and was a stepping stone to somewhere else. And you know, if you put a comma next to your life, God will put a full stop and keep you there if you're not surrendered to Him. And we had to surrender to God in a new way. And if we had not said yes to taking over a small group of people, a little church that we closed and then opened as friends first and became common ground, there wouldn't have been this other army of friends who lived in their own scattering and came in for all kinds of different reasons, whether it was Ryan and Shelley who came back from the UK. That scattering is not out of necessarily a crisis, but he was missing his mom's cooking. And I think it was a good idea that you came back. Okay, that's a joke from the southern suburbs, I apologize for. Okay. But here's an interesting thing. Many of us think, oh, those are the guys who got scattered. Those are the guys who got scattered. You know what the Greek word for scattered is? Is diaspora. Exiles. And James chapter 1 and verse 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us all, if we put our faith in Jesus, you might have some roots in a previous geography, but that is not your primary identity. You are now in the kingdom. You've been translated out of the old national identity, and you're now in a new community. And that's why Christians were called exiles in Peter, scattered abroad. God is in the business of scattering, and He scatters people because primarily He wants to multiply His message. And He multiplies the message through multiplying messengers who faithfully share the message because of this diaspora. And He's not saying our cultural distinctions of the nations we come from or the cultures we've grown up in have no value or no place. They are just not our primary identity, the things we celebrate. So that's the first thing. Do you sometimes look at your life and say, oh, I got a bad hand of cards, life sucks, I don't have the life I dreamt I was dreaming. And maybe the problem is we're too busy lamenting what we're suffering and thinking, instead of thinking, Lord, as a scattered one, how can I take my place in your kingdom? How can I say yes to you and your mission? And here's something very interesting in closing this point. Philip was scattered, but you know that Philip didn't know he was scattered until he was scattered, until he realized God has done this. And how did Philip know this? Well, he just started to share his faith. He started to preach the gospel. He began to share the story, and God began to use him, and people began to gather to him. And suddenly, his life is on steroids. And more than his life, those that gathered to him experienced a new joy as the darkness was pushed back, as they were freed from captivity under Satan's power, as they were translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, they too got a new identity, and this community was formed. But for Peter, that was just chapter one. Philip, it was chapter one. Guess what happened next in Philip's life? The next minute he's witnessing to who? An Ethiopian eunuch. He signed up. He never wanted to go back to Jerusalem. He found a whole new reality. I want to be in the melting pot of cultures. And he leads this Ethiopian eunuch to Christ, who was a key leader Princess Candace's kingdom, Queen Candace's kingdom. And he'd gone to Jerusalem, and most of the commentators say he went to Jerusalem to worship, and he got booted because he's castrated as a eunuch. And Philip, once God gets a hold of your heart, and I want to say to you, you can be born again, you can be saved. God needs to get out. It's like becoming an exile in our thinking. Getting gospelized is almost like being saved again. Not going to heaven again. Not, it's getting a fresh sense of calling and commission. And we're at a watershed moment here. We can celebrate 10 years, but you're only 10 years in a 100-year plus journey, which means you won't be part of the future. So we got to set up the future, then our kids and next generations to be part of that. Okay, that's the longest point of the three. The next three are pretty short. Why are you laughing? You said we've heard this one before. Okay, no, genuinely, this is shorter. Number two. What's the first one? God can make the downside of life serve the upside. Second point is courageous missionaries, messengers of the gospel like Stephen, who was martyred, must be honored, not blamed or shamed. Think about it. You are part of the group of Christians who scattered, and now you're doing the audit. You're walking, you're leaving the city. Oh, this life sucks. Oh, it's so tough. Now, what are the temptations? I'll tell you, one of them will be, why does Stephen have to open his big mouth? Why couldn't he just back off? Why did he have to take on the whole religious system? Because the persecution came to the whole church because he stood his ground courageously and he took on that legalist, that system where people try to get into heaven by works and by the law. And he told them that they were a bad representation of what God had promised to Abraham at the beginning. And he suffered with his life. He was stoned under Paul's, who was at that time Saul's, leadership. They might have the voice notes going around on WhatsApp at that time would have been something like this. Stephen's speech was utterly uncalled for. There are less outrageous ways to defend the truth than to call the Sanhedrin a stiff-necked people who always resist the Holy Spirit. It's always hotheads like this that get the church into trouble. Now the whole city is against us. Look at the waste of life and property and time. Look at the families that are being broken up. Look at the homes being lost and the children being taken away from all their friends. Now we have to live like refugees and exiles, which they were already spiritually. In Judea and Samaria. But Luke tells God's side of the story when he says, Stephen, a man full of grace, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, stands up and talks to those guys. And then Luke says in Acts chapter 1, or Acts 8 verse 2, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. What's going on? They didn't have all those voice notes. The early church was mature enough to know they were exiles, and they got on with the program. Instead of lamenting what they've lost, the downside, they got into the upside of being the church, being the people of God in less than ideal circumstances initially. And they didn't get into the blame game. They didn't get into the shame game. They didn't get into the self-pity game. As a matter of fact, there were people who lamented with deep care and grief the loss of Stephen, and they were devout men and they buried him. I want to say to this that there are people, the church is built on the foundation of people who have really suffered, and sometimes we need to make a point of just honoring and thanking. Mike Seeger, you're one of those guys to me. I just think of how you left Joburg, where you had fought for that multicultural expression and another door opened and you ended up in our particular tribe. And I want to say to you, we honor you. Can I ask you just to give this man a round of encouragement? Can we do that? Thank you. With his wife. Thank you. And the third point, can you believe it? We're gaining momentum here. If you keep encouraging me like this, we can do even better. And then the third point you'll see in this passage is that God can make our worst enemies to become our best friends. You say, where's that, Rigby? Well, it happens one chapter later, flows out of this. the Saul who was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and was committing them to prison. He gets radically converted, the wolf of the church, the wolf that's at the door of the church, devouring lambs and sheep. He's on a journey to go and do more of the same. And Christ, the head of the church, gate crashes his life and he says, wow, Saul, you've got so much passion. You're a nasty piece of work. But there is some religious zeal and fervor in there. If I can redirect it in the right direction, I think I might be able to shape you into something after I've humbled you. And then we know the story, or some of us might not know it, but he has this radical encounter with Jesus. You see, when he started to persecute the church, who do you think he was persecuting? The church has a head. And so the opening salvo, the opening argument against Saul on the road to Damascus is Jesus saying to Saul of Tarsus these words, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Have you seen how God can use persecution not just to scatter the church, but even to reach the persecutors? He goes in there, he says, I'm taking this personally. Jesus saying to Saul. And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, it's I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Remember, Jesus said, as much as you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me, good and bad. And Jesus is jealous of his church and jealous. You don't know how many times Jesus has come to the aid of our lives and our churches as we've gone through difficulties in the past. And some of you can recall some of the chapters. It's because he's jealous over it. And what we need to marvel at is we need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for the people that oppose the work of Christ. We need to, Ryan Termasason was preaching last week and he says, there's so many people that are up to date with all the failure of all the leaders in the body of Christ over the last 5 years. They're so up to date. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, they're on X, they're on Instagram. They got all, and they attend the conferences on how dangerous certain leaders are. Now, I know that not all of that is evil or wicked, but here's my point. It's called failure porn, where you get your kick out of just seeing how Christian leaders have failed. You know what the problem with that is? It's such a small minority. You know more about failure than you know about how many leaders are still standing. And we've got more faith to see leaders fail than we've got for the enemies of the church to have radical conversions and take their place in the church and become a means of grace to the world. This is exactly what we're studying in this passage. We're seeing, wow, while all this is going on, all these people are suffering at the hands of Saul, God moves in on Saul and radically transforms his life, and the church is put on notice. You better start making room for some radical new converts. So much so that they didn't even want to let Paul get into the church in the beginning. And it took Barnabas to vouch for him. Okay, last point. Am I doing okay, Andre? I'm not talking about how am I preaching. I'm saying time-wise. These are the roots of the church we're a part of. And here's the fourth point. The gospel of Jesus is still good news that brings joy to cities. I want you to notice that how joy comes to the cities, because some people read this a little bit differently. And the multitudes with one accord gave heed to what was said by Philip. Philip came down to preach the gospel. They all heard what Philip was preaching. They came to hear the preaching. And when they heard him and then saw the signs that he did, the signs that followed the preaching of the word. Signs themselves don't get people into heaven. You can get out a wheelchair, you can get cured of cancer, you can get your marriage all restored and still go to hell. The preaching of the gospel is the preaching of what Jesus did on the cross. And yes, when he shed his blood, he secured enough power to heal us in this life of our diseases, and if not, to give us resurrection bodies in the next. But healing doesn't get you saved. Healing is a blessing. Healing is the children's bread. Philip came to preach the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did on the cross. And it says, and here's the effects of having heard the gospel. The gospel announces a superior king. It's not just saying, oh, the devil's out of business. No, the devil's out of business because the superior king has moved into town through conversion and transformation of multitudes of people in Samaria. And so there was much joy in the city. Isn't that an amazing thing, that there is the possibility to bring greater joy to the city of Cape Town through every church represented here, but the whole church in this area is part of the church that Jesus is continuing to build. And whatever decade you're in, there's more to come, as Ryan encouraged us earlier. And I think I'm going to land by just saying, Andre, when you started and Mike joined and Rich joined and there's all these intersections, the common denominator was this passage, this hunger for something of this. And thank you for your courage to us as Common Ground to keep that flame alive and keep challenging us. And if you ever visited Common Ground in Rondebosch, you would see it's a totally different, radically different church on a Sunday in terms of just the levels of integration and diversity and worship team, and everything is just beautifully changed. I find myself just apologizing for being so sluggish as a leader in the early years, but I'm so glad that you guys inspired us in the Common Ground story. But it's more than just what happens on a Sunday. You see, the good news is not because of what happens on a Sunday in a city. The good news in a city is the result of how the church lives its away match. And we began to realize when the xenophobic thing happened about 10 years ago, is it? As I was saying, about 16 years ago, was it that long ago? But what we realized is all the diaspora popped their head through the persecution. And instead of just saying those horrible foreigners, what are they doing in our country? People like Andre were taking them one at a time to Home Affairs and walking them through to get some kind of status at Home Affairs where they could stay here. And then he saw the people who stay here need to eat, and so he started to, together with the team, started the whole network program, which was then part of what became the birthing of the Zona Kenya Network, together with Common Good and the three E's, which are education, early childhood development, and employment. And those three things have brought, listen, unbelievable joy to Cape Town. But Andre was a trigger to that. And Ruth and Richard, a trigger to the early childhood development thing that is now in over 700, over 1,000 churches around the city. Guys, we got the genesis for all of this in these kind of stories that we're looking, and we're not going to lose it. We're going to say, this is our address. This is who we are. This is our missional identity. And I'm here to say, well done for 10 years. Let's put it on steroids in the next by putting our yes on the table and saying, Jesus, you're worth it. And no matter what comes, we know you'll turn it to good for your glory. and our good. And so I want you to just honor Richard, Mike, and those names, and Andre. Those three elders who at the beginning were helping us shape this stuff. Why don't you just honor them, please? Why don't you stand? I want to pray a prayer over you all and then hand back to Andre. Why don't you just close your eyes and let's humble ourselves before the Lord. God, we honor you. We honor your kindness. We honor your faithfulness over these last 10 years in Common Ground Weinberg. Lord, we honor past and present friends, past and present elders and leaders and people who've done us so much good, and we want to commend them to you as those exiles living out their faith in different parts and pockets of our great city. Lord, we want the city of Cape Town to be blessed. We want joy to mark the city as your church continues to do its work in the world. Lord, we want to thank you for this venue in Weinberg, and we know that buildings are tools for a task. But we want to thank you for this tool. We want to thank you for the leadership of the school that has opened their hands to us. And we pray that you would help us to steward this well. Pray that this would become a place where people can find community, find the truth of the gospel, and healing for their families and their marriages and all that goes with being exposed to the gospel. And we pray your kingdom would come to the city of Cape Town, to our nation. Lord, we know we've got elections up the road, but we want to invite you to stir your church. We pray for a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, a fresh courage. Won't you remove cynicism and negativity and give us a fresh faith to be the church in our generation? Thank you, Lord, that a smoldering wick you will not extinguish. That you have a way, Lord, of fanning into flame that which is weak and goes through seasons. I just want to pray for our moment in your church. Thank you, your church in our moment or the season that we're in. God, I want to pray, send the wind of your Holy Spirit over your church and give us a new season of fruitfulness. A new season, Lord, where you receive the reward of your suffering, where your fame increases across our city. All of this for your glory, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's give the Lord a big hand.